Kurt Landry Podcast, where we're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting across from me is Rabbi Kurt Landry. And in this episode, we're discussing Passover 5784, why you should celebrate this feast of the Lord. Rabbi, before we get into this full episode, I know a lot of listeners have been wanting more content, just more insight into 5784 and what Passover is going to be this year. But first, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you, Daryl. Yeah, I have more anticipation, and I know that I just came from an apostolic prophetic conference, and across the board with all the prophetic leaders, everyone is really expecting. There's two things that are getting ready to happen. It's you've got this eclipse happening, and then you also have Passover coming. And I think they're both tied together. I think it's an opportunity. I think the Lord is trying to awaken us in the heavens with this powerful sign in the sky, but he's also trying to awaken us in our hearts. And I think Passover 5784, the word the Lord gave me months ago, because the team asked, they said, by any chance, do you have a theme or a direction for Passover 5784? And I said, yes, I do. It's doors of destiny. But if you look at the number 5784, and we can break that down later, but what it's really talking about is there's times when there's large historic paradigm shifts in history, and we are at that place now, not just for the United States, but for the whole world.
So Passover this year, let's just look at the calendar, give people, I mean, obviously as you're listening to this episode, it's going to be leading in probably around early April. But right now, the 19th of April is going to be kind of what I would call like a pre-Passover, but a Shabbat service that it's going to be that Friday night on the 19th at House of David. The 21st, that Sunday, we're going to have an immersion rabbi. It's going to be at House of David as well. And then the 22nd is Passover Seder that we're going to be hosting again over at House of David. So what's the, before we dive into, you know, the details of 5784, what's the excitement level for you this year of Passover? I think this will be, I guess, my second. So for you leading up to it, what's the excitement level like?
Well, listen, we're doing something very different. We're actually going to bring in two of our prophetic friends that I think that have prophesied into the Landrys and into Kurt Landry Ministries and House of David, and that is Apostle Tom and Jane Hammond. I don't know exactly how this is going to work, but they're going to actually be at the head table with Pastor Tim and I and Sandy and Christy, and also Bishop Paul Nias coming in from Togo, Africa. So it's going to be an interesting mix at the head table. We're going to have multiple microphones, and what I'm asking Apostle Tom and Jane to do as prophets is to prophesy into the people at each one of the cups, each one of the steps of the Passover. Now, I don't know how many Passovers I've done, so, but I would say 75 in 33 years. And everyone says, well, I thought you just did one a year. But a lot of years we would do two and three and four. So, but I've never done one like this. So let me kind of, can I just share with you kind of what I'm thinking?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we're just going to trust the Lord with this, but you have to realize that when you look at the table, I've got the Haggadah here. The first cup is the cup of sanctification. So now what sanctification means is to be set apart. Okay, that's the first cup. So the first thing you have to do, if you're going on a spiritual journey, you need to know how and why you have to sanctify from the old to walk in the new. So anyway, now that's a given. That's here in the Haggadah. This, we actually have our own Haggadah that we've modified over all the years. But this is the first cup of sanctification. So what's going to happen is we'll go through that part of the table, and then we're going to have prophetically have the Hammonds kind of speak into it like a current now word for 5784. And that's going to be interesting as well. The second cup is the cup of plagues. So this is about the deliverance from generational curses and sickness and disease and things that have been plaguing you. And we're going to have them prophesy into that. So like the way this works, like how is it going to work? Well, this couple apostolically know deep and really, they travel around the world. They speak to world leaders. They just came from South Korea and speaking to the past president of Korea. They were in Barbados. They spoke to the premier in Barbados and actually had them prophesy into the premier in Barbados. It's an interesting couple. And so we want, if you're going to get a word, you know, the word of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I know by having them at the table this year, it's going to be very interesting because it's going to cause our prophetic gifts to go another level. So like, Lord, give us a word. They may come and say, hey, listen, this is an Amalekite spirit that is attacking you. I'm not saying they're going to say that, but it's one of the things we're battling right now. And then we can come in agreement with your family and use that cup and that bread to break that Amalekite stronghold that's holding you back. Does that kind of make sense? Like bringing them in, it's going to be different. And the third cup is the cup of healing, the cup of redemption. And then have them prophesy into people's lives about healing. And the third cup is the cup of praise. So that's kind of the direction that this is going to be a very different and an interesting Passover. And, you know, then also on April the 12th, we have Chuck Pierce coming in and prophesying over House of David.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. So there's going to be just a lot of prophetic energy. If you can come and be with us in house and register or online, listen, you can go online and we have a list of all the elements that you need to get to. And I've sent a letter out to your house. If you're a member, and if you're a partner with Kurt Landry Ministries, you should partner with us. But I sent a letter out, personal letter of how to prepare your home to be able to have from our house to your house for Passover. So yeah, I think this is a Passover where you need to take your life to another level and open the double doors for double blessings coming into your life. I've been waiting on this visitation of the Lord for years.
Rabbi, we are super excited about the new website. It's something we've talked about in other podcasts the past month and a half or so. Something that our team really, really worked hard on for the past probably 4 to 5 months. But if you're looking to get registered for Passover Seder and brunch, it's live on the website right now. Hopefully by the time this podcast comes out and you're listening or watching, that there'll be tickets available still. But you can go to kurtlandry.com/register. A few notes, something's a little bit different on the new website. Tickets can be purchased for one family or a group at once from a single page. That's always a little bit different for different events, but this is a really cool feature that we added to the website to just make it easier, right? Also, you can just register to get a reminder, get all the notifications, get all the information leading up to Passover. You can stream that with us on YouTube or Facebook or the One New Man app that we'll have out. And so tons of different ways that you can be involved in person. Again, that's kurtlandry.com/register. If you want a physical copy of the Haggadah, you can go to our website, look in our shop, in our store, and you'll see a physical copy that you can order. I know a lot of people, Rabbi, like to buy that every year because it's something that, you speak a lot into for the copy. Just not the style. It looks great, right? It's great graphics. Nice paper, right? But the actual information and, kind of how you want people to lead through it so they can join us either in person or online, you can check that out. Just search for Haggadah And you can find this year's in our store. So super excited about all those opportunities for everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Daryl. Listen, I'm really proud of this. I've had people ask, they said, wow, you have your own Haggadah? And it's kind of like, you know, what are you, like the Jewish Pope? You can create your own. And no, I'm not the Jewish Pope, and I'm not a theologian, and I don't play one on television. Christy would tell you, I probably underestimate. I'd probably say 50, probably closer to 75 seders later. I've done seders for corporations. I've done seders in mega churches. I've done everywhere. So what happened is we put together this Haggadah with our team so that people could actually understand it so that they could have the experience of being delivered from slavery. That's like the thrust behind it. And realistically, you know, we have a deliverance ministry. We obviously have a prayer center that people can go to, and our people pray for you in the courts of heaven. And you know, we have hired prayer pastors here. I mean, we take it very serious. They're highly trained. And because that's the key, you have to get free. But I can tell you that in every single ministry that we have that operates in deliverance, they basically are following the principles of this Haggadah, because these are the steps. You've got to be sanctified. You have to be redeemed. You have to break the curses. And then you have to praise God. All these steps are in the Passover. So if you need to get free and you need to get your family free, it's a great practice to celebrate Passover. You know, I'm going to give you a scripture here. This is what Jesus said about Passover, and he did celebrate Passover, and he was the Passover lamb. But
that was one question I was going to throw at you, so you already answered it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus did, and he actually celebrated and then became the Passover. Most of us know it as the Last Supper, but the Last Supper was actually a Passover Seder. So, but if you read about his desire for it, it's in Luke 22 and 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, with fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.
Mm. And that's Luke what?
That is Luke 22:15. With a fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover. And then the other scripture I want to share is, people say, well, that's a Jewish feast. It's not actually a Jewish feast. It's all the feasts are biblically, if you read it, it says these are the feasts of the Lord. But it also says in Exodus chapter 12, where Passover was instituted, but if you go down to, it says here on 12:14, it says, so this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep the feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast, as an everlasting covenant. So it was never the desire of the Lord that after Jesus came and were born again to not celebrate Passover. In fact, all the feasts say everlasting covenant to multiple generations. So obviously the history of it was stolen during the Constantine period. Why would the enemy and why would a religious spirit remove the feasts of the Lord? Is to remove the intimacy and the relationship with the Lord. If you want to manipulate and control somebody, if they're controlled by God and the Holy Spirit, then you have to somehow separate them from that. You know, the biggest attack of the enemy, Satan, he's after your free will. What he wants to do is he wants you to surrender your free will so that he can take it over. And that's in every single case of your life, every single situation, that's what he's after. If you look at these globalists right now, the elites, what are the elites doing? The elites, they're not satisfied with just being billionaires and controlling their corporations with their billions of dollars. Now they want to control the people. See, because when you have power without the sanctification of the Lord, then ultimate power corrupts, and that's what you have. So what we're battling right now in our generation is you have the elites trying to take over the grassroots common man, And they're going to fail because God is going to empower the grassroots to be able to say this, you know what? In order for me to submit to these elites through this woke ideology, I have to denounce my God. And by denouncing God, then what happens is you've given up your free will. See, the Lord gives you a free will to choose him, or you can choose the enemy. The difference is when you choose God, you still have a free will, and God blesses you with that free will choice. It's called faith. And the just shall live by faith. And we are justified by faith. But with Satan, he wants to control your free will so that he can steal, kill, and destroy you and take you into everlasting damnation and take you to hell. So that's where people are. And the reason Satan and the demonic spirits hate you keeping the feast is because what's this feast all about? You were slaves in Egypt, okay, for 400 years. The pharaohs forgot the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so what he does is he breaks the 10 gods that were there with these plagues, and Moses delivers the people out of slavery into freedom and makes them a nation. And what did Moses say? Let my people go that they might what? Worship me. Satan wants you to worship him. That's what the whole wokeness and the globalists are all about. Worship us, control us. And I can tell you right now, not even prophetically, just from human nature, it's not going to work. If we allow them to brainwash our children to basically into such an oppression that they won't fight for their nation, which they're trying to do, if we let them do that, then we will lose this nation. But if myself as a baby boomer and the millennials and the Gen Zs, if we'll wake up and say, you know what, we believe in our nation. We believe in freedom and justice for all. If we will stand up and through the Judeo-Christian foundations of the constitutional faith of this nation and demand it, there's so many more than us than them, we'll win this battle and we'll get this nation back. But if we sit back and do nothing, the reason I'm on this podcast, the reason that we're doing all the stuff we're going to do, I mean, I'm at an age where I could have retired years ago. The reason I still keep going is because I have a desire for every family that's listening to me and my family to be able to enjoy the freedoms that this nation has for us. And I can tell you that I know for a fact that my friends in China that are praying for us, they're praying for America harder than the Americans are, because they know, like for instance, in Taiwan and in Israel, Israel and Taiwan knows that if America falls, they're going to fall. The only protection for Taiwan and Israel, just an example, is for a strong America. And the strong America will be strong if the church in America will rise up and take its place.
KurtLandry.com/register. It's going to take you to our registration page on our new website at KurtLandry.com. One thing I wanted to point out after, within the process, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions that get called into the Ambassador Center and just emails being sent. After checking out, users are going to receive an email that's going to have their ticket details, Rabbi, and a QR code. Just follow the steps. It's going to be the email. It's going to prompt you perfectly throughout the process. But if you do have any questions or concerns, you can shoot it over to podcast@KurtLandry.com, or you can just call us off the number on our website. So let's jump into 5784 and what the actual biblical significance is. And then let's go into Doors of Destiny of what this Passover is going to be about.
Okay. I'm going to go real quick with this, just enough for you to kind of get an overview.
Don't give everything. Just give me a taste.
Okay. Well, biblical numbers are important. Okay. I'm a student. So I love to analyze and I love to understand things. And numbers speak. So let's look at the biblical year is 5784. Okay. So you have, first of all, you have 50, which is Jubilee. Okay. You have 7, which is perfection. Okay. So you have the number 5, which is grace, 7, perfection. So to start out, you can say, in this year of this Passover, may you release grace of perfection, which is Jesus. He's the only perfect thing. Okay. 8, new beginnings. 4 is the door. Okay. So if you look at 5, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I can just pray this with you. Let the grace of the perfection of Christ Jesus create a new beginning and open doors so that I might walk in my new beginnings.
Okay, so listeners, watchers, you know, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, be sure to give us a comment, review this episode and just the podcast. That'd be great. If you're watching on the One New Man app, let us know that you're watching. Walking us through, giving us a little bit of a skinny, right? Just a little brief description on the actual biblical significance of the numbers of this year in 5784. Where does Doors of Destiny, I mean, obviously we look at 4, so we look at that number, but the theme and kind of what you're seeing prophetically, biblically, kind of what should people prepare themselves listening to this podcast as we lead up to this year's Passover Seder?
Okay, so, well, I could go so deep into this, and I could swamp the whole boat right now, but I won't do that. Just let me say this, is Passover is also, in the Hebraic culture, is a new year. So it's a fresh start. So let's go, you know, Moses dies, Joshua now takes over, and he's going to cross over the promised land. So they're going to come out of a wilderness into the promised land. So they cross the Jordan, and what is the first thing that they do is he circumcises the males, and they celebrate Passover before they go to Jericho. So if you think about it, that's really what's getting ready to happen here in April. Is the Lord's going to take you in the immersion on Sunday, which is the circumcision of the heart, according to Colossians. So you're going to come and say, I'm in a wilderness in my mindset. I choose to go in the water, circumcise my heart. I'm coming to the Passover table, cleansed in the water, in the mikvah, to get new clear directions, breaking all the generational curses in my family and in myself, because if you're cleansed spiritually, then your mind can think clearly. That's why Paul told Timothy, he says, the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind. Sin, when you immerse in the water, it cancels or expunges the sin, and that cleanses your mind to be able to think through a sanctified freedom mindset versus a condemning mindset that comes from sin. So it cleanses not only your spirit, but your mind gets reset. It's kind of like cleansing a computer and unplugging it from the wall and restarting it. It allows everything to kind of reconnect so you can see your future. So when the children of Israel went into Jericho, they had celebrated Passover and they also had been circumcised. And that allowed them to be able to obey God, to march and blow shofars to get the victory. Now, the next episode of that was AI, their battle at Ai. They lost that battle. Why did they lose the battle? They lost the battle because one family in that whole group decided to bury treasure from Jericho in their tent, and that caused them to lose the battle. So I will give you a prophetic word right now. The Lord is removing the tares from your troop and your tribe so that you don't have an eye loss after you cross the Jordan and get the spoils from Jericho.
That's good.
Because now the Lord gave me that word this morning. I actually called Paul and Megan and I told them, I said, right now, there's people being pulled out of people's lives. And everyone here It's like, I don't know what happened to them. They misunderstood me. They're not coming to my church anymore. They're not coming to the Bible study. That they're not calling me. They've gone dark on me. That I'm just going to tell you right now, please, please hear my heart. I know it hurts your heart, hurts my heart. But you have to let them go, because what happens is they're not going into the level of promised land that you're going into. And if you turn around and try to rescue them, you're, so to say, you're going to miss the crossing of the Jordan while the water's, you know, the priest put their feet in the water and it backed up. And actually it backed up, if I remember right, all the way from the Dead Sea all the way back to the Dan. So that's a huge area. And they crossed over on dry land. You need to cross over on the dry land. That's what this Passover is all about. So when you're not only leaving Egypt, you're not only crossing the Dead Sea, but you're moving into this is a year of a promised land possession. And it's not just enough that you cross over, but you need to cross over, Daryl, with the right people, and not have somebody that after you get the victory buries treasure in their tent and then you lose the first battle you go to.
I guess, what's the struggle you think with people being hesitant to celebrate Passover? I mean, obviously this year, if you look at the Hebrew calendar, Easter, you know, like that Sunday is a little separated, right? It's just a little bit different this year. But what hesitation do you think people have to fully buy in to? Which it sounds crazy as I'm saying it, because if you read Luke from, I mean, the scripture, I mean, Jesus clearly is saying, hey, like, this is Passover. I mean, like, this is something that he is doing with the disciples, right? You know, because especially from, like, my upbringing, I mean, we didn't do Passover, right? Actually, the church I went to was so conservative that they didn't even do Easter.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's Easter, and so we do a resurrection-esque type of sermon, but we're not going to address it.
Yeah.
Type of thing. But, like, why do you think there's hesitation to follow the scripture and actually take that little bit that Jesus said and run with it?
It's just culture. Listen, my grandmother didn't do it. She was the most spiritual person. My parents didn't do it. Oh my gosh, my dad walked on water. My mom, you know, was, you know, it's just culture. It really, but you have to realize that if you do the same things that your family did, then you're going to get the same results. So, you know, my family was raised with this. Megan's been raised with Passover. Our grandchildren, it's all they know. Okay. But my desire is, as Saba, is that they take everything we're teaching them to the next level, that my ceiling becomes their floor. But they're going to have to modify and change the culture. You know, I think it's interesting on this year that you have Purim and Palm Sunday on the same day in the Gregorian calendar. Now, I don't have my notes in front of me, but it's the same day. And I've talked about this on one of the lives from my house. The reason I think it's interesting is, let me ask you a question. Do people understand that when you're celebrating Purim, which is the story of Esther and Mordecai, the book of Esther, that let's just say, for instance, that Esther would have failed and Haman and Xerxes wiped out all the Jewish people. If that would have happened, there would be no Palm Sunday. There would be no Jewish boy riding on a donkey and people raising up palms saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna ben David. You know, there would be no Hosanna ben David. There would be no Jesus, son of David, Yeshua ben David. There would be none. Because what happens is the lineage, biblically and prophetically, had to come through the Jewish lineage. So what happens is in Purim, being on the same day as Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is a week before Easter in the Gregorian calendar, we have to understand that I think it's the Lord kind of speaking to us about, do you understand that each one of these feasts, if there, let's face it, if there would have been no Passover, there'd be no Jesus. So if Moses would have drowned, there would be no Jesus. You know, there's all these different things. There, like, God orders the steps. And the reason, if you read about Purim, it's another one of those things that says, and you teach these to your children, it says, for all generations. Why is that? I think it's important. Listen, the situation we're in right now, when Christy and I were in Israel after the war started and the atrocities of October the 7th, I thought about Purim. I thought, this is Haman and his 10 sons trying to eliminate our people from off the face of the earth. He's even tricked people to be able to say, from the river to the sea. I watched on one of the news programs, they were interviewing the young protesters from the university, saying, well, what river to what sea? And they didn't even know. They didn't know it was the Jordan River to the Mediterranean. They didn't know that it is literally. So why is Satan so interested in removing the Jews from, let's say, the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea? It's quite simple, just to make God a liar. God promised Abraham that land. If you go to Bethel in Israel and you stand on that water tower that's there, it's at that spot, not at the water tower, but we go up there and pray. It was on that spot where he said to Abraham, all that your eye can see, I give this to you, to Abraham and his seed. So all the 12 tribes, this is their promise. And so this is it's a small slice. It's not even prime real estate, but it's a small slice, and this belongs. So why would Satan trick college students that don't even know what river and what sea? But the power of life and death is in the tongue. They're cursing God's word when they say from the river to the sea. How do people get tricked into becoming pro-Hamas? They weren't with me when I went inside a burnt out home and looked at an oven and an infant child was put in that oven, and the oven was turned on to 500 degrees, and they baked the child to death. They weren't in the safe room where a Holocaust survivor grandma was in the safe room and seeing all the bullets on the doors, and a RPG went in there, and they burned the woman alive inside her own safe house, and there's ashes there. I was there. I saw it. I smelled it. I touched it. My feet were there. That's the spirit of Haman. That's Haman and his 10 sons. That's Satan. Satan doesn't want to just kind of lure you away. And when you see all this satanic stuff that's happening in Hollywood right now and all this, that stuff is so dangerous because it's really kind of like when I was a kid, the guy that drives in the van and says, hey, little boy, do you guys want some candy? Get in my van. You know, that whole thing. We were warned in my day that was it, because there were these child molesters in Los Angeles, and that's what they would do. They would offer you ice cream, they'd gather you up, and that was the sex trade of the 50s and 60s in LA. And the difference was, as us as kids, we were trained, you know, stay away from that guy. But I think it's like there's such an acceptance now that no one can stand up and say no to stuff. I don't have any trouble with it because I'm not somebody that my job as a pastor, I know I'm a rabbi, but I'm a shepherd, I'm a pastor. My job is to warn the people to the traps of the enemy. I think one of the biggest traps of the enemy is trying to keep people away from the feast of the Lord. Why? Let me give you a scripture that Daryl, listen, I have done more funerals and I've been at funerals, and everybody reads this scripture. And this is what, you know, it's like it's become like the cemetery, or the what, let's read this at the funeral. I mean, how many times have you heard this? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. for you are with me. Your rod and your staff shall comfort thee. You prepareth the table in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 5, I prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. That's Passover. It's not a funeral. All the steps of this scripture is a Passover Seder. Jesus was the Lamb of God. He took hell, death, and the grave. He took the keys. This is a celebration of life for the shepherd. He anoints my head with oil in the midst of my enemies. Let me say it this way. He anoints, in fact, this year I'm adding Exodus 30 oil to all the tables. And I'm telling people, get your oil ready. Why? Because you're going to anoint your mind. You're going to say, let this mind be in you. So where's the enemy? There's no enemy at the Lord's table, right? There's no demonic being. They can't be at the Lord's table. But guess what? A demonic thought can be at the table. So what he's saying here, even I sit at the table and the anointing oil breaks the yoke off my mind and my emotions of what the enemy has put on me this year. I will be free from that. I think that's a good practice to do once a year at the Passover table.
What do you want people to get from Passover this year?
My prayer, and the Lord will answer my prayer, is that the doors of your destiny will be open. So like us in the media department and all the expansion we're doing. For you as a young man in that department and leading that department, I pray that you would have the same vision that I've had in heaven of the millions of souls that Kurt Landry Ministry is going to reach through the new programming we're doing, through Lion Century and all of that, all the translation we're doing. I pray that Daryl and Morgan and Nathan, Tucker and Paul and Megan and Jonathan and all of you, Stefan or Stefan, however you want to say it.
Stefan. Yeah.
I like Stefan myself. Listen, I was raised by French Canadians, the Landrys. Parlez-vous français? Très bien, merci beaucoup. So I was raised with that.
Yeah, I mean, Kurt Landry in French is a actual YouTube channel now.
Yeah. So I love the French language. I think it's beautiful. I'll just ask. This is my prayer for all of you that are watching and all of you and my staff and my family. And I look at my staff as family. I wish, Lord, that you would open their eyes. I feel like Elijah sometime. I feel like saying, open their eyes that they might see the reward of the millions and millions of souls that don't go to hell because of our effort. That's my prayer. And the Passover table has an ability to do that. And I've had that experience. And I've also, I shared on my testimony, when I overdosed on LSD, I went to hell. So I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. But when we can reach millions of souls with the good news so that they can not go to hell and live a victorious life in the midst of all the troubles that are coming. I can tell you, I know this for a fact. I am blessed to work with presidents and prime ministers. I have prayed for and laid hands on some of the most powerful people on earth in my ministry. And you would say, wow, you've had a great experience behind the scenes. But I'll say this, my only hope is in Jesus. And I mean that with all my heart. We need a remnant to come in agreement with God's plan for this world and let the glory of God's power and might transform people into the goodness of Christ and separate them from the evil of Satan. The grassroots have got to be sanctified, empowered, blessed, and with hope, with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, the anointing of Cyrus, the wisdom that God can only give into not just the baby boomers, the millennials, and the Gen Zs, but in all generations. We need to rise up and become warriors in the holiness of God to walk in power, so that even the most corrupt corporations want to hire us as warriors because they know that God is with us. No different than Pharaoh hiring Joseph, saying, listen, I know you won't bend your knee to me. You should be killed. But you know what? Your power to interpret dream and your power to bring strategies from heaven, your God is really God. All these other frogs and cows and all the other stuff that I'm worshiping, I don't want to say nothing, but I know it's not working. Your God is God. That's what Pharaoh said when Moses, when he finally let him go, he said, your God is God. We need at this Passover to have doors of destiny to open us up to the plans for each individual life, as it says in Ephesians, the workmanship prepared beforehand, that our God is God. And we need to go out and do great exploits and be that testimony. That's my prayer for everyone who would participate.
Passover 5784, Doors of Destiny. Passover Seder live from House of David, April 22nd. KurtLandry.com/register. Still time to get your tickets. More information. You can navigate the website, go to the shop, get you a physical copy of the Haggadah this year. To help lead your family and yourself at home for Passover 5784. Passover Seder again, April 22nd at House of David. You can join us streaming YouTube, Facebook, or the One New Man app. Rabbi, as we wrap up, lasting thoughts for people listening, watching this episode.
The best is yet to come in the middle of the biggest storm. That's where we are. You know, it's interesting. We came up from Dallas in the meeting, and sometimes obeying God is not convenient. So we had a nice hotel room down there. The Lord says, don't stay, drive home. So at 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, here these older people get in the car for a 6.5 or 6 hour drive. We got in at 2:30, you know, to the house. But the next day, if we would have left Thursday morning, if you remember the weather, there was tennis ball and baseball size hail. So we would have drove right through the storm if we didn't move when the Lord told us to move, and we did. It was inconvenient, difficult to stay awake, but I did, and I'm so glad to obey God. I almost feel like if you're going to come to House of David and register and be in house, or have a Passover Seder in your house where you actually invite people over and you get all the elements, you order the Haggadahs, you blow the shofars, you have the tallit, you just turn your house into House of David, that you need to understand that you're going to have resistance. And the reason there's resistance is because, I can say this for sure, I know that God and Jesus love Passover. I can tell you this, Satan and his demons hate it. Why? Because it's the power of the blood of the Lamb on the door. If there was ever a year to have the spiritual blood of the Lamb over the doors of your children, over the doors of your grandchildren, your businesses, and your house, this would be the year. 5784, may the grace of perfection and new beginnings open every door, and may every door have the blood of Jesus on it to protect your passage as you go into promotion.
Before we go, send your questions, any thoughts that you have for the podcast. You can send it at podcast@KurtLandry.com. Rabbi, I think in the near future, we'll just have a whole episode that is just questions, comments, just from a listener, viewer perspective. I think that would be a pretty cool episode. So we'll promise that's coming in the near future, but keep sending them over to podcast@KurtLandry.com. And do us a favor, rank this podcast. Hopefully it's 5 stars on Apple or Spotify. That would help the show out a ton. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. Rabbi, I'll see you later.
Thank you very much, Darren. Hey, before you go, I got something really exciting I want to share with you. It's an opportunity for you to be a part of us as a One New Man Covenant subscriber. This membership is going to allow you to receive weekly prophetic words and also content that's not available to the general public. Your membership is going to help us to be able to bring better content, and more education to you. What is needed in this day and hour is good information. So become a One New Man Covenant subscriber for Kurt Landry Ministries, and I want to thank you in advance.